The Sefer names through Parsha Frameshir for Parsha's Ekev, we'll be looking at the Sefer Shevet Halevi, a compilation of Shas and Chuvos from Shmuel Halevi Vosner, who lived from 1913 to 2015, passed away at the ripe age of 101. So the phrase Shevet Halevi comes up in the Parsha, in Parak Yud Pazuches. It says, Ba'isahi Hivdil Hashem as Shevet Halevi. At that time Hashem set apart the tribe of Levi to carry the Aron, stand before Hashem to serve him. Rashi explains that this refers to when Shevet Levi did not sin with the Egel HaZahav, and therefore Hashem decided to reward them by setting them apart for a certain service. So obviously, Rav Vosner was a Levi. He lived in Bnei Brak. He was actually became known as the Shevet HaLevi after his Sefer. He was born in Vienna. He studied in the Shiva Chachmei Lublin in Poland under Rav Meir Shapiro. He moved to Eretz Yisrael before the Holocaust and eventually relocated to Bnei Brak, established the Zichron Meir neighborhood over there, and a yeshiva Chachmei Lublin named after the yeshiva in Poland where he spent his youth. When he passed away in 2015, over 100,000 people attended his funeral. He passed away on the first night of Pesach. Because he was a contemporary gadol, much of his psakim, of his tshuvos, are publicized, and much can be found about his writings and his life. It's told that his mother, as a child, had an amazing voice and was being recruited to sing professionally, which obviously poses a problem for a Bas Yisrael to be singing publicly, Kol Isha, as a halacha. And she actually was considering it, but her parents tried to sway her. They went to a Rav, Rav Shlomo Baumgarten, who asked her why she wants this. And she said, I'll become famous. I'll be able to make a parnasa and become famous. The world will know me. So the Rav thought about it and said he promises her that if she sacrifices this chance at fame for the sake of Hashem, she'll be blessed with a child who will become known throughout the world. She agreed, and she had a son who was Rav Shmuel Vosner. When Rav Vosner actually, during his lifetime, was asked if this story was true, he said it makes sense, as his mother always used to encourage him to learn and said that he can't imagine the sacrifice that she made for him. We'll quote several limudim from the Shevet HaLevi, but there's thousands that are publicized. We'll just go through a couple. So the first one is an interesting halachic question about whether one can set up a table, a folding table or a folding chair, on dirt on Shabbos. So the Mishnah on Daf Lamed Tes Amud Aleph and Masechet Shabbos says that one may not stick an egg in sand on Shabbos. So the Gemara quotes a machlok as Rabba and Rav Yosef, why this is. Rabba says, Shema Yatmin Beremetz, which Rashi says means one will come to use insulators to cook food. And they'll say, why is that different than sand? So it's a gzera. Rav Yosef says, no, it's lest you move the dirt, which Rashi says that when you put the egg in the dirt, it will, by sticking it in, you're causing the dirt that was stuck to move, and that's considered being chofer aguma, by digging a hole. However, Tosfos, in his first pshat, argues and says that the pshat in Rav Yosef is that moving dirt is usher because of mukta. But his second pshat, he agrees with Rashi that it's about making a hole. Tosfos asks, according to the pshat, that the issue of concern is making a hole. So that was Rav Yosef Shita. Why does Rabba argue on Rav Yosef? Meaning, why is Rabba not concerned that moving the dirt and creating this ditch in the ground is going to be making a hole? So Tosos answers that Rabba must hold that the issue of making a hole only makes sense where you take dirt from a hole and then you leave the hole. And now what you're left with is an empty space. But here, you put an egg in the ground. So yes, you've cleared out dirt, but what remains is not the hole. What remains is the egg. There's no visible hole. So you can't say that's considered being osaguma. So we paskin like Rabba. So it would seem that we paskin, if that's the case, based on Tosfos, that there's no isser of making a hole unless the hole is recognizable after you've made the hole. So says Rav Vosner, in Shevet HaLevi, Chelek Dalet, Simen Kuf Tzadi Aleph, Kuf Pei Aleph, sorry, that based on this we can say it's mutter to set up a folding chair or a folding table outside on Shabbos on top of dirt or grass, even though the legs of the chair or the table will go into the ground and make a hole, which would be chofer guma, as since the leg will be occupying the hole. It's just like the egg, where Rabba, according to Tosfos, argues and says that it's not considered making a hole if after you dig out the dirt, what you're left with is not the empty space. Rav Vosner does point out that the Magen Avraham seems to argue on this, as he writes in Hilchos Yom Tov, that it's usher to stick a candle in sand on Yom Tov because of the Isser of being Chofer Guma. So Rabbi Kiva Eger asks, why would that be? Oh, it must be the Magen Avraham holds like the Maharshal, who says the Rabba in the Gemara and Shabbos was not arguing on Rav Yosef's reason, he was just giving an additional reason. But Rav Vosner says, the Lashon of all the Rishonim is not mashma like that. It's more mashna like he was saying before, they do argue. Plus, here, you have an Isser D'Rabbanan at best. Plus, it's kilachar yad, it's doing it with a shinoi. And it's inu miskaven, your intention is not to make the hole. So it sounds like, says Rav Vosner, we could put everything together and be lenient to set up a folding table or a chair on dirt on Shabbos, even if the legs will make a hole in the dirt. But he does leave off with a tzar of Ion Lamaisa. He's not entirely sure how to conclude. Lima number two. Shevet HaLevi in Chelek Yud Aleph, Simon Nun Aleph, was asked by Bnei HaYeshiva if they have to say the Berchas HaOreach, which is that Yehi Ratzon in benching, where we bless the host, do we have to say that in Yeshiva? Who's our host? The Yeshiva itself? So, and they noted, the Yeshiva Bachrim, that the Chayei Adam, quotes from the Zohar in Parshas Balak, that if a Baal HaBayis is not eating with the guest, then the guest does not recite Berchas HaOreach. So here, the head of the yeshiva, the president of the yeshiva, is not eating with them, so we don't have to say Berchas HaOreach. So Rav Vosner says, it's true, and your reason's a good reason, but he offers another reason. As the Yaivitz, and Shelis Yaivitz says, that nowadays we don't say Berchas HaOreach. It was only instituted at a time when one person would say the benching, and be motzi everyone else who would just listen. But nowadays, when we all bench to ourselves, so a guest could add it in his own personal benching, but there's no chiyuv to recite it, as you're not being motzi the Baal HaBayis. And the proof to this is that the Gemara implies that the reason the guest leads the benching is because of Berchas HaOreach. But if you can just say it on your own privately, then why doesn't the Baal HaBayis lead the benching, and the Oreach just say it on his own? It must be the Berchas HaOreach only makes sense if you're leading the benching out loud and being motzi others. And that's why, in many places nowadays, the minhag is not to recite Berchas HaOreach. In fact, there was a good time period where the Berchas HaOreach actually was not in the print of many benchers, although many of the new benchers have made sure to include it. He does note that many medaktikim have continued to say this Berchas HaOreach. So at best, as Rav Vosner, it's a suffix. So better not to say it mitzad halacha. But he says, mitzad musar, the Talmidim should have a karsa tov to the yeshiva, and therefore they should mention the yeshiva in the harachaman hu yivarich. We say, you could say your father, your mother, Berchas HaBayis, so they should mention the yeshiva because the Talmidim should inculcate within themselves a sense of a karsa tov to the yeshiva and those who provide for them while they're in yeshiva. And finally, the third limud from the Shevet HaLevi, a big shaila about whether one has an obligation to put up a mezuzah on the door of his office. A person works in an office in the city. He has one room. There's hallway. There's many other rooms. Sturv Sternbach in Tshuvas von Hagos, he writes that this issue has been debated amongst many poskim. So he says, best to put up the mezuzah without a bracha. And the Ben Ish Chai says this way. Also, Milchus Yitzchak says this way. The Sefer Chovas Adar says this way. Rav Vosner says that, not so sure. After analyzing the sugya, it would seem to emerge that in a modern-day office, one would be obligated in a mezuzah even with a bracha. As the Gemara says, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, that a storage house is chayiv in a mezuzah with a bracha. The Shulchan Aruch Paskins that way. So why would an office nowadays be any worse than a storage house? You're there sometimes. You keep your stuff in there. You have a desk. You have your computer. You have your books. So why is that any worse than a storage house? However, Rav Vosner notes that although the Shulchan Aruch paskins that a storage house is chayiv in mezuzah, that's the Mechaber paskining that way, the Tosos Rid, the Ritva, and many other Rishonim argue, and the Rav Vosner writes that the Beis Yosef, the Mechaber and Shulchan Aruch, did not have access to the writings of many of these Rishonim, but he posits that if the Beis Yosef, the Mechaber, knew that most of the Rishonim held that storage house is in fact not Chayiv Mezuzah, the Shulchan Aruch would have paskened differently. And therefore, says Rav Osner, although we are machmer to assume that a storage house is obligated in mezuzah because that's what the Shulchan Aruch paskin, perhaps there's enough of a suffix that we should not be making a bracha on an office. And therefore, people have the right to put a mezuzah in an office, even with a bracha, says Rav Osner, and nobody should scoff at them because it should be similar to a storage house with the Shulchan Aruch paskins is chayiv. However, because of the suffix, it's also a very legitimate practice to put a mezuzah without a bracha, as many of the other modern-day poskim have said. So that's a little bit about Rav Shmuel Vosner, a contemporary posek, about his svarim, Shalos and Shuvos, Shevet HaLevi, and about many of the amazing and fascinating insights he has contained in those svarim.